Hello and welcome to the Mixed Media Audio Scene for October 2012. Mixed Media is about DIY publishing, taking a look at homemade publications in the digital age. Blogs can be deleted, paper has an archival quality that will be read for decades to come. Making a zine is a hands-on act of creation, putting your work out into the tangible world to share with others. Well, often on the Mixed Media Audio Zine, I read from other people's journals and publications, and I plan on doing that again today. But first, I'd like to read some of my own writing that was published in Xerography Debt number 30. It's called Why I Publish. What a challenge to describe why I publish in roughly 250 to 500 words, a conundrum. I wish I could use the cliché that ink is in my blood, but that wouldn't be accurate in any literal or metaphorical sense. I've never been a printer, nor do I possess printing knowledge or skill. I've always relied on pen and ink, typewriters, word processors, and eventually computers to place word to page. My truth is that writing and communication are in my blood, or at the very least, in my genes. My mother was an avid writer, and my father a radio and television repairman who would listen to shortwave signals from around the world long into the night. From early in my childhood, I learned to write letters to friends and family and anticipate their responses in the mail. Although I still use the Hunt and Peck typing system, I've been familiar with the QWERTY keyboard since grammar school. Why do I publish? Back in the 1970s, I used to publish zines for my 4-H club, and I also typeset and designed a newsletter that my parents distributed to their friends. I published the first issue of my literary zine, Bone and Flesh, in 1985, and then Color Wheel in 1989. The Wave Project burst into creation in 2003, zines which evolved into Signals and now Paper Radio, along with my renewed interest in all things radio, preferably pirate radio. Why do I publish? It's simple. Words in print on paper is the one medium that I cannot personally survive without. Like music or oxygen, it nourishes my soul. Rather than being a passive consumer of words, my creative fire is to produce words as well. It's a matter of personal balance and keeps me halfway coherent. Much discussion has gone into how to define a zine. All I know is that I know one when I see one, and when I make one. I cannot ignore the energy and passion to create zines and to share thoughts, feelings, conversations, and information with others. This has nothing to do with revolution or nostalgia. Most people don't even fully understand what those concepts mean. The technology-driven culture has declared that print is dead, books are history, libraries are passé, and that you can Google all knowledge. Bullshit. The antidote to bullshit is to create your own life and live authentically in the here and now. Connect with other vibrant spirits and don't let go. This is the way we do it, through zines. PJM publishes Node Pajomo, and the summer 2012 edition included some audio art. Here's what PJM writes in his introduction. Audio mail art. What is it? Let's find out. Send 2 minutes of audio or less. With those words, we launched into our second audio mail art project. The responses arrived on vinyl, audio cassette, and CDR. One was square, one was covered in oil, one was in a stocking, one was in three pieces. From such fascinating places as Zaragoza and Andorra. Most artists stuck to the 2 minutes or less request, and few even sent several works, leaving us to choose. A couple artists sent works longer than 120 seconds, and while a temptation to edit punitively was strong, we chose to give them their 2 minutes under the laser. One artist sent a Nashville Pussy CDR and requested we choose only 2 minutes. We had several meetings on the matter, and after much pulling of hair and pointing of fingers, declined to include the work, even though we did include Eberhard Jahnke's selection of an Ezra Pound canto. While most of these artists have been working in the audio realm for quite some time, this is the first excursion into audio for a couple of the contributors, and we'd like to thank them for stretching their boundaries and adding their voices to this dissonant chorus. So that's some of the introduction to some audio art that's included in the summer 2012 edition of Node Pajomo, which is published by PJM. If you'd like more information, you can write to PJM at Post Office Box 2632, Bellingham, Washington, 98227-2632, USA, Earth. Let's hear a few tracks from this audio mail art compilation, starting off with Gary Schilling's Dream.
State of mind leads to the city of depression, loss of oneself, panics, attacking, creeping into black holes, leaving empty glass bottles broken for you to step on like grapes for your fine wine, drinking the blood from my spirit as my shadow shows me the way through darkness. There is no light in the tunnel. Only black and white swirls dizzy in your scrambled eggs. marshmallows drowned in hot chocolate. Sun melts faces to clay. Ancient statues of stone talk. But the crow was happy I fed him today. Your heart is untrusting. Walk the other way. Stranded me in a town of decay. Clouds are moving pictures floating west. I climbed in the mirror. Then I shattered it. Cutting my soul to pieces. Falling to the infinite. Through space and time. The book is floating on the edge of eternity. Cold and black, it was frozen shut. To another dimension I implode. To stardust and glitter, snowing on the ground. Dust devils spit in your face as the tumbleweed rolls down Route 66. Looking for water and the reptile's belly is full. But the pop machine stands like a monolith. Ice is extinct.
Some very intriguing audio art from the Node Pajomo Summer 2012 edition. We heard Gary Schilling with X-15S Dream. We heard Larry Angelo with Loop Browser. Susie Q and the Green Dream Rambling by John Reynolds. And from Letter Founders Jesse Kendall, Why Don't You Write? And again, for more information, write to PJM at Post Office Box 2632, Bellingham, Washington, 98227, 2632, USA, Earth. This is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to the Mixed Media Audio Zine for October 2012. If you'd like to write to me, my address is FMOE, that's Frederick Michael Oscar Echo, FMOE, at colby-sawyer.edu. That's FMOE at colby-sawyer.edu. Now we're going to hear Dave Roach reading from his book, On Subbing.
Bernard Elementary School, September 20th and 21st. This was a behavior problem class for first and second graders. The kids tried to act tough, but they were too young to pull it off. They were aloof and had tons of attitude, but when things didn't go the way, they'd cry. The biggest problem in this class was kids running away. To compound the problem, this was a portable classroom. Once kids got out the door, they were outside. One kid ran and wasn't found for over an hour. He was 30 blocks away. Most of the time, though, kids would just run out and stand by the door or hang out by the dumpster. It was my job to follow them out. I was told to try to coax them in, but don't yell or demand anything. One kid decided to take out his anger on me. When I tried to talk, he yelled, "Shut up, bitch! Shut up, butthead!" I wanted to explain to him that the key to insulting is escalation. "Shut up, bitch" is more offensive than "shut up, butthead," and should therefore come after. But I said that was maybe more a fourth grade concept. High school, February 19th. This is a life skills class, and life skills classes are for lower functioning kids in the district. The kids can get around by themselves, and they're verbal, they can communicate, but they have learning delays. And so in high school, for math, it's like counting coins and reading clocks. It's not going to be like algebra or anything. And a lot of them are still working on like the basics of reading. And we also do this thing where they kind of just take kids out of this life skills, so it's like teaching kids how to behave in life. And so they have these walking field trips just kind of out in the community, just like to the store, like a park nearby, so they know like how to cross the street safely and how to behave in public. I got sent to the life skills class in which I subbed for a month and a half at the end of last year. The other teacher was really glad to see me. Early on, she berated a student for having dirty hair and made her wash it in the sink in the storage room behind the classroom. I wondered how glad the teacher would be to see me if she knew that not only did I not shower that morning, but I was wearing the same clothes I wore to Michelle last night. I stayed on the opposite side of the room so she couldn't smell me. The class took a walking field trip to a nearby supermarket. The teacher asked me if I was still writing. I said I was. She asked me what I was writing, and I couldn't, like, tell her I was, like, making fun of her, so I lied. I said I was submitting stuff to magazines. She said those things she wanted to get into and asked me how to go about it. I tried to remain as vague as possible, saying it depended on which magazines you were submitting stuff to. She said she wanted to send stuff to Christian magazines, specifically Billy Graham's. She was really asking the wrong guy. I wanted to say, "Well, you usually have to sleep your way in," but I decided against it. She found this book. Anyway, she found it and read it. And I'm okay with that, because she's a really terrible person. And that's like the mildest thing I wrote about her. There's plenty of shit talking in her in this book, and she deserves it all. One time, it was quickly, I biked to school in the rain, I had my rain gear on, and there's like this storage room behind the classroom. And so I took my rain gear off and I just put it like on a chair in the back. And then as the kids are coming in, like really loud in front of everyone, she's like, "Dave, something smells back here. I think it's your stuff." And I was kind of like, "I don't think so." And then I just kind of like dropped it thinking, you know, she would drop it. And then she didn't. She was like, "Yeah, I think your stuff smells." Like in front of the kids, I'm like, "Well, I know I keep my stuff in my house and it doesn't smell. I don't know." And then she kind of dropped it. But then like 20 minutes later, the kids are all there. They're eating their breakfast in the classroom. And she's like, over my clothes, like, "Yeah, the smell's coming from over here, right by your stuff." And then picks up my rain pants and sniffs them. And is like, "Yeah, it's your stuff." And I didn't say it, but I want to say, like, so I ran away from Portland. Never looked back. Riverton Elementary School. A girl I worked one-on-one with took an immediate disliking to me. She ordered me to read a report on wolves. I couldn't figure out what the word SML was supposed to be. I guess small, but I was wrong, and she got really upset. I asked her to talk to me politely, and she threatened to bite me if I didn't continue reading. Then she said she'd scream if I didn't tell her how to spell a word. 5.5 hours left. On Monday, I worked one-on-one with a different student in a different class. It was a lot easier. This kid just needed a lot of refocusing. For the last hour, the class made Christmas cards. I manned the hot glue gun in case the Elmers proved useless against the pipe cleaners. The teacher played music. She had a bunch of great CDs. Louis Armstrong, Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Miles Davis, Duke Ellington. She only played one tape over and over, Kenny G's Christmas album. I came dangerously close to hot gluing my ears shut.
I could hardly stand to be the same thing to both of you.
Eli Moore with a tune called Consuming Fire from his EP that's available from bicyclerecords.com. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Mixed Media Audio Zine for October 2012. I'm going to continue reading now from Zine Capsule, a zine about zine collecting for the future, which is written by Kim Schwenk with contributions from Jenna Friedman, Margaret Nee, and Tori Quinonez. So here's some advice on taking care of your zines. What can you keep them in? Ideally, acid-free, lignin-free boxes or pamphlet binders. These products can be purchased from vendors like Metal Edge, University Products, or Light Impressions. Or you can use archive-safe polyester mylar enclosures, which can be purchased by the roll as a cost saver, and 100% cotton rag envelopes. Be careful of so-called acid-free supplies you buy at a craft store. The best places to purchase them are from library and archive presentation vendors. But I can't afford those products. Most of us can't. That's no shame. For the at-home archivist, here's a few things that you can do to keep zines out of harm's way. First, do not store them in cardboard boxes. Little paper-eating bugs called silverfish, you've probably seen them running around in a drawer, lay their eggs in the corrugation of the cardboard in the factories. They feed off the tasty morsels of the paper. They have been known to ruin entire libraries. If it's at all possible, avoid cardboard. Cardboard also retains moisture, so given your climate, another nasty occurrence happens, mold. DIY tip, if you notice mold, quarantine everything in that area from your other zines, books, or papers. Mold is something not to mess around with. Actually, it can be deadly. There are mold specialists trained in preservation methods who use freezing techniques to kill the spores. If there is a way to replace those zines, do so. Otherwise, you might consult your local university or archives preservation officer in your town or send a quick email to one for help. There are simple methods of freezing paper, but you don't want to ruin your zines. Consult an expert. Frankly, I'd invest in some plastic bins with good secure snap lids. The stackable kind could work best considering the size of your collection. Analyze your collection to see if you have odd-shaped size zines, zines with attachments, zines with special acid-type paper, for example, wax-coated newsprint, metal objects. Those plastic dresser-type bins with the pull-out drawers would work as well. Sometimes you can find those at thrift stores, garage sales, and discount stores without having to buy new. And next month we'll continue with zine preservation tips from Zine Capsule, a zine written by Kim Schwenk with contributions from Jenna Friedman, Margaret Nee, and Tori Quinonez.
If I can.
stealing greasy if I can now.
John Fairhurst with a tune called Payday from Magpie Magazine, number 5. This is DJ Frederick. You've been listening to the world of zines and indie music on the Mixed Media Audio Zine. If you have something you'd like to contribute, an audio perhaps, a song, a zine reading, email me at fmoe@colby-sawyer.edu. That's fmoe@colby-sawyer.edu. You can also check out the blog at zinereviews.blogspot.com. That's zinereviews.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting freedom of expression and staying creative.